I do get asked, you know, is it greedy to manifest? Or I feel greedy asking for more. I feel greedy, you know, setting these intentions. Are you setting that intention because it feels aligned, it feels good in your soul, and it feels expansive? Or is it because so-and-so on Instagram setting that goal? What is at the core of that intention? Is it pure? Is it because I generally want to experience that in this lifetime? And a great question I ask myself when I set my goals and intentions is, how can this positively impact the collective as well?
Before we jump into this episode, I'd love to invite you to join this Candid Spiritual community to hear more conversations that will help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. All I want you to do is click on that subscribe button, because I love your support. I love seeing all the comments pouring through, all the love pouring through, and we're just getting started. I can't wait to go on this journey with you, whether you're a spiritual seeker or you're just curious about the topic. And we really hope that our conversations will provide you food for thought and inspiration for your own spiritual journey. So join us for honest, candid discussions about spirituality for soul's sake.
For soul's sake, for soul's sake.
Hello and welcome to another episode of For Soul's Sake, a conversation in which I bring to you the best in wellness, and we talk all things spirituality, all things interconnectedness, all things. Today we're talking about law of attraction. Emma Mumford's joining us. I'll give you a little bit about Emma. She is known as the spiritual queen. I want to get into that, spiritual queen. Leading law of attraction expert in the UK, award-winning life coach, YouTuber, 3 times best-selling author, host of the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes, I've Got Competition, has helped hundreds of thousands manifest their lives over the last 8 years, and has underwent a spiritual awakening in 2016 after a breakup and severe depression. Something to talk about there as well. Where do we want to start? Do we want to talk? Let's talk about spiritual queen.
Okay.
How did that come about?
It's a bit of a journey, but it definitely ties into, you know, my whole journey, my story, like you were just saying there. So Spiritual Queen came about in 2016 when I had my spiritual awakening, but I was actually known as the UK's Coupon Queen at that time.
Coupon Queen.
Coupon Queen. So that's where it came from. So I was doing some really cool things like presenting on This Morning and helping people save money and budget and get out of debt, basically. So yeah, I lived a very different life prior to 2016. So really, Spiritual Queen was kind of the natural evolution from Coupon Queen and from that kind of season of my life, so to speak. But, you know, although I moved away from money, although I sold that business in 2018 and obviously do what you see me doing today, I don't think money's ever left me. I think it's always something that I'm passionate about. And
it's in your karma.
Yeah, definitely. What's in my numerology as well, people have told me multiple times. So I think it's really funny when I say to them, you realize I was a banker and then money saving queen and then obviously spiritual queen, and I help people manifest money now. So full circle.
And in terms of like, when you talk about spirituality, like everyone's got their own definition of that, and I'd love to get your take on what is spirituality for you?
For me, I feel like spirituality is a connection. I feel like it has allowed me to connect back to myself. I feel like it's allowed me to heal myself on so many levels. And some people might not think that is spirituality, but for me, that really has been my journey. And I feel like spirituality has been such a healing space to be in and connect to, and just to find my truth and connect to what feels right for me. Because I feel like throughout my whole life, I've felt quite lost. I've obviously gone through depression and anxiety. I've questioned my religion. I've questioned my faith. So I feel like spirituality has been that kind of freeing middle ground, I guess, of just finding myself and being like, actually, this is who I was meant to be. So I feel like spirituality has been freeing and healing.
Yeah. I mean, you put it so succinctly, but also it's interesting how everyone's definition is so different, and how in one sense we've moved from this word religion towards spirituality, and how in one sense, like, what you're describing is so similar to, yeah, religion of old, but nowadays we see it as so different. And one thing that I've always been interested in is how, you know, when we talk about spirituality, and you mentioned connection and connection to self, and like when you look at religion, the word religion, it comes from the word religare or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it literally means to reconnect, to bind, to be related to, connected to. And yeah, I just find the whole concept of like language to be intriguing and fascinating, because in one sense, they're the same. But in another sense, if you said to anyone that you're religious, then immediately a wall goes up and how language has changed over time.
Yeah.
And I guess one thing I'm interested with your approach is because you've been, you know, you've been with media, you've been facing cameras quite a lot, you know how to convey a message, you're talking about manifestation. And I mean, have there been a lot of links with people who have left traditional religion to now be part of what is this new age spirituality? Have you seen that kind of link between that old definition, this new, what's your take on all of that?
Yeah, I mean, in my experience...
Vague question, but in one sense, I'm opening it up.
I guess like from my community over the years, you know, I've heard all sorts. I've heard people saying that, you know, even I remember one-to-one clients who have said to me, you know, that, you know, they were brought up a certain religion. They just didn't, it felt quite constrictive or quite controlling, or maybe it was kind of placed on them through family, etc., through societal conditioning. So I think people have wanted to kind of just find their own feet with it. And for me, I was kind of brought up Christian, not forced, but it was just something that was very kind of cultural here in the UK. Yeah. And I kind of thought, why am I doing this? You know, do I really believe this? Is this just something at school that's kind of like forced upon us? So I think in my kind of teenage years and as I got to young adulthood, I really started to think, I don't think there is anything there. Why would bad things happen to everybody in the world if there was this all-loving God? So I think that's been my journey. But definitely, I think for the common theme is people just trying to make sense of the world and trying to make sense of their journey. And I think when people have been through adversity and really difficult, traumatic situations, I think it does make you question, why am I here? What do I believe in? Why do bad things happen? So I think that's definitely been the common theme that I've seen. But spirituality, or whatever you call it, you don't even have to call yourself spiritual. You know, even with like manifestation, a lot of people probably wouldn't call themselves spiritual still. You know, it's finding what works for you. And I think that's the beauty of it, that really with all religions, but, you know, with spirituality as well, you can kind of see what fits, see what doesn't fit, and find what, you know, really resonates with your soul.
I love how you're speaking about it, because I think we moved away from spirituality as being seen as this witchcraft. And it's now open, like everyone has some part of their life that is quote unquote spiritual. And so I love how you're describing that. I want to talk about manifestation, because I know you're big on it. And I know that a lot of the people that follow you and are connected with you are learning from you how to manifest. I've not really had so much experience with it myself personally. I understand the concept briefly, and I understand how it kind of like, in simple terms, I can kind of somewhat understand it, but maybe you can give me a definition and what would be the first steps for someone that's looking to begin their journey of manifestation.
Yeah, so manifesting is like the biggest buzzword at the moment.
Yeah, right, everywhere.
So when I first started doing this back in 2016, you know, I was kind of looked at like, what are you talking about? What
2016?
Like, what is manifestation? So, you know, it's really interesting to see how the conversations evolve so much, and how it's literally in like every TV show, every film, every book you read now. Even my partner.
Every Instagram quote is manifesting.
Even my partner's like, I can't even go to work without hearing them talk about manifesting now. So it's really funny, but it just proves how powerful it is, and how, you know, people's mindsets are shifting and they're becoming more open to these things. But the law of attraction, simply put, is one of the seven energetic laws of the universe. So essentially the notion that like attracts like. So what we put out into the universe is what we experience in our reality. Now, I always counteract that with a little caveat, because I know what's coming next from people of, well, does that mean we attract bad things to us? And it's an absolutely fair question, because I myself have asked myself that so many times over the years. And I believe that energy trumps all. So yes, our words, our thoughts, our energy create our reality, but energy trumps all. So no, I do not believe that we attract bad things to us. I don't believe that we attract horrible things, you know, in any sense or form. What I do believe in is soul contracts and our karma and our destiny and the things that we have come here to embody and learn on Earth School. But equally,
I love these terms Earth School.
But
soul contracts.
Yeah, but I think as well, you know, do we know the answers to everything? No. So I don't say, you know, what I'm saying here is absolute fact, because we don't know. But for me, that's what feels the most true. So definitely we create our realities. We are the author of our life. So what we put out into the universe is what we attract through the divine mirror of life. So if you are, you know, having a good day and something happy happens or some good news, you might text a friend and then tell somebody else and tell somebody else, and then something something else good happens. And at the end of the day, you think, God, it's just really been my lucky day. I love this. And on the flip side, we've all had those days where something annoying happens and we tell someone and then we tell somebody else. And then you get to the end of the day and you're just like, I am done. Like, so many annoying things have happened today. And this is the law of attraction in action. So where we're focusing our energy, where we're focusing our words, our thoughts, our attention is where that energy flows. So through the law of attraction, or manifestation as it's also known, you can attract things like money, love, relationships, homes, career success, anything. And I think there's such a big focus on the materialistic side of things, but actually you can manifest feelings, emotions, healing. So there are no limits to what you can manifest. And in terms of where to start off simple. I've got my 5 steps that I share, which just break it down so easily for everybody.
I'm gonna start taking notes in a second. All right.
But essentially, just get started. You know, look at your life, look at the different areas of your life, use a life wheel if that will help as well.
A life wheel,
they're fantastic. So they're like, it's like a little pie chart circle. Yeah. And you literally
section off different parts of your life.
Yeah. And you literally just color in or mark down, you know, a score out of 1 to 10 of how you feel in a certain area. And it's just a really good kind of check-in point to look at. Where do I feel my relationships? Where do I feel my purpose? And then you can look at, okay, well, what would make that area a 10? And then if you say, well, having more fun and, you know, seeing my friends would make my fun and recreation area a 10, then you would obviously set some goals around, you know, going out more with your friends, spending more time with them. So sometimes it's easier to look at what's not going right in our life or not feeling good to then evaluate, okay, what do I want to manifest and what would feel good and what can I shift to achieve your dream life?
I'm just trying to think now, what do I want to be a 10 in my life? Okay, give me some areas on that life wheel.
Okay, we've got relationship.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got spirituality.
Okay.
Money and finances.
Okay.
Home life. Fun and recreation. God, you're testing me now. I look at this wheel most days.
I'm also helping people like build their own wheel right now.
They're all in my books. You can literally Google a life wheel and it will all come up. But yeah, there's some really good areas to get started with. And I think as well, a big question I get from people is, I don't know what to manifest. I know I want to manifest.
It's quite overwhelming, isn't it? When you think about it, there's so many different things that if I could manifest anything and the sky was the limit, well, the heavens were the limit. Mm-hmm. If I could just, there's no limit. Just keep manifesting unlimitedly, then here's a question though. All right, here's a question. I heard this quote by Mahatma Gandhi: there's enough for people's needs but not enough for people's greed. And if we all had it our way, have you seen that Bruce Almighty?
I have, yes.
So you know in Bruce Almighty when like he's like, in one sense, he's manifesting everything, but then as a consequence of his manifestation there are other people that have to suffer. Has that question ever been, you know, put to you? Like, what about the greater good? Is there enough for everybody to manifest unlimitedly?
Yeah, and it's such a good question because I think there is a lot of what I would say not so great teachings in the law of attraction sphere. And I think, you know, privilege has definitely come up in conversation over the years around privilege and manifesting. And are we all starting off in the same space? And no, we're not. Let's be real, we're not.
Yeah.
You know, we're all starting from different places in life. So to say to like 8 billion people, you're all going to have the same results. You're all going to have the same, you know, if you all put in the same amount of effort and energy, you're going to have exactly the same results is just wild because it's not true. So yeah, we all have limiting beliefs. We all have different fears, different traumas, different experiences, a whole different array of things in life. So of course, everybody's results are absolutely going to be different and what they experience. But yeah, I do get asked, you know, is it greedy to manifest? Or I feel greedy asking for more. I feel greedy, you know, setting these intentions. And I guess you have to look at it from a sense of, are you setting that intention because it feels aligned, it feels good in your soul, and it feels expansive? Or is it because so-and-so on Instagram setting that goal and you're like, oh, I feel like
comparison.
I should aim for that. Yeah. So I feel like definitely I've had to check in with myself over the years and be like, what is at the core of that intention? Is it pure? Is it because I generally want to experience that in this lifetime? And a great question I ask myself when I set my goals and intentions is, how can this positively impact the collective as well? So how is me manifesting that relationship going to positively impact other people? Or how is that money going to positively impact other people? And I think when we take manifestation to that next level by, you know, expanding it and looking at the collective, like you say, it then becomes so much more, because it is so much more. And I think the law of attraction is great, but I think it feeds the ego a lot as well. And for me, I found that the biggest piece that I found with obviously my work and manifesting personally is needing nothing attracts everything. So the quote you said is perfect.
Because needing nothing attracts everything. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's like a detachment. If you're not attached to, wow, needing nothing attracts everything.
Yeah. Because when, you know, I've been there, I've got the t-shirt, I've done it all, because I've been there on my knees, like, universe, why won't this manifest? Right. And, you know, how come other people manifest this and I can't? And it is that detachment. So I think greed is such a great question, because yeah, obviously there is unlimited abundance and possibilities for everybody in the universe. The universe doesn't discriminate. The universe doesn't have favoritism, but essentially it's our blocks and limitations that create those more obstacles or hurdles, but we can still absolutely overcome that. And I think it's acknowledging where you are on that journey and having compassion with that, but then also having the tools to move through that and do what you really want to do in life. You know, you don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to do what everyone else is doing or manifesting. Like, it's your journey. It's your desires. So I think it's really important that people, you know, honor their journey and what they want to do.
Taking stock of the facilities that you've got available to you. And I guess in my mind, I'm like, if I wanted to manifest something in one of those areas that you mentioned in the life wheel, then I would start with the next step as opposed to the final. You're saying, like, be realistic about it. Take stock of what it is. And also, I love how you said that piece about, is this for the greater good of, is there an altruistic view on this? And also, yeah, there's a lot of elements. It's not as straightforward as, okay, from today forward, I'm going to be a millionaire just for the sake of being a millionaire. It's not like, will that really make me happy?
Yeah.
Will that really be exactly what I need in this lifetime?
And why?
And why?
What are you going to do with that money?
Yeah, it's a good question. Let's talk about, when I heard law of attraction, I thought it was specifically to do with relationships. And I think it is.
No, I thought that in the beginning. Oh. When I first heard it, I was like, ooh, who can I manifest
right,
with this?
Right,
but it's not.
Because there's, I mean, let's face it, that is the biggest need of most people, is to find love and to find just someone in which we can confide and share our deepest heart secrets. And it almost feels like we're turning more and more towards AI for that, and less to the people around us. We struggle so much with just making eye contact with people. We're talking about it even just before we came on here, that receiving compliments is so difficult for people, receiving criticism is so difficult for people, because we find relationships so difficult. And so I guess I would love to hear your take on the next step someone can take towards manifesting a beautiful relationship.
The relationship with self. It all starts within. If I was to say any piece of advice, it would be become your own soulmate first, love yourself first, and the rest will fall into place.
Become your own soulmate first. What does that mean?
Well, it was a tough question I had to ask myself, and I can't remember for the life of me where I heard this question asked, but before I manifested my partner I'm with now, I heard someone say, do you want to spend the rest of your life with yourself first? And I was like, so that was my block. It was quite obvious. And you know, it's so easy for us to like write the list of all the qualities we want in someone and be like, I'm gonna manifest this, and that's great. We want specifics, right? I write the list, it works perfectly. But ultimately you need to be that list as well. Like, you can't just be like, I'm gonna do nothing, I'm gonna sit back. You have to be that energetic vibrational,
because it attracts like attracts like.
Exactly. So you have to be the vibrational embodiment of that list to manifest it. So for example, I put like, I wanted an outdoorsy person. I was like the least outdoorsy person ever.
Yeah, how's it gonna work?
Exactly.
How are we gonna meet an outdoorsy person if you're always indoors?
Exactly. So there's things like that to definitely consider, but the relationship with self is so important, because like, even to just bring this as an example, I was watching Love is Blind, the new series. And the amount of emotionally unavailable people on there. And it's so funny how people say, I'm like ready for marriage. And I was one of these people a few years ago. I was like, I'm so ready to settle down. I'm so ready to find the one, Mr. Right. And I wasn't, but I thought I was. And it was only until I got into this relationship, my previous relationship, that I realized there's the work. and they shone all that work to me, all the things I had to work on. And I'm so glad they did, because now I'm a totally different person in my relationship.
Right.
And thank God, because I don't want to be carrying that into, you know, a new relationship or putting that on anybody. So definitely, I think we need to look at our side of the street. We need to heal if we feel that, you know, we've gone through some stuff in previous relationships. And just knowing that we can embody unconditional love for ourselves first, with our inner child and just within ourselves, to be able to, you know, show up for someone fully as well.
Yeah, it's like one thing that's ringing in my mind right now is that the grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. Mm-hmm. And usually where you water it is where you stand. You have to start with yourself. And I love how you were making that point, that first start with happiness is an inside job. Work there, figure it out. If you want something, then first see if you've got it yourself. Then the law of attraction means you're going to find it in another. I love all these points. They're really clear. Let's move into another area, finances.
Oh.
Okay, we spoke relationships. Is it the same thing with finances? Because if by theory what we're saying is that you need to first then manifest financial wealth yourself before it comes from different areas, that might be a difficult cycle to start. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, absolutely. But I do see our finances like a relationship as well.
Ooh.
Because you need to date money as well. Like, I think we feel
that...
to
date money.
Yeah, have a date with money. I had one last week and my partner came in. He was
what
like...
What does that look like? Okay, yeah, go on.
I was sat in bed, literally at like 10 p.m. and I was writing down like all my different savings and all the like different, you know, incomes I had and things like that. Everything that was in the pot. And my partner was like, what are you doing? I was like, shh, I'm on my date with money. Like,
wow.
I'm busy. And he was like, what do you mean you're on a date? And I said, I'm dating money. I'm spending time with my money. I'm getting to know it. I'm nurturing it. I'm making sure it's loved. I'm making sure it's in the right places. So for me, it was really important to schedule out that time. And now he just laughs when he sees me doing that. And he's like, I'm going to date money too.
But I mean, it's not so different from the Vedic perspective. Like, I come from a mantra background, bhakti background. And it talks about how, like, all of these things that we consider just to be mundane, like money is mundane, we consider it to be personalities. Mm-hmm. Like, even everything from the sun all the way to the moon and the sea and, well, money, let's talk about it, is considered to be a person. So having a relationship with that person and understanding where is that person most happy means that you attract more money. So, like, I don't know how esoteric, you might be like, oh my God, this is getting really too much for me, but I'm going to go with it. So money is considered to be known as Lakshmi Devi. Mm-hmm. And Lakshmi Devi is happiest when she's with her consort Narayan. Mm-hmm. So when you use Lakshmi, when you use money, that energy in the service of the Supreme, it's most happy. And in so doing, you get some in return. Like, it just becomes like natural. It becomes a reciprocation. But like how you said, a date with money makes so much sense in that context.
Yeah.
Because it means you're having a relationship with it, as opposed to seeing it as like a rock. Like, it's non-moving. It's an energy. It's something that is constantly changing, is constantly evolving. And by having a relationship of respect with it, that actually then turns, even if you're not okay into this whole thing of using it in higher purpose and whatnot, that's fine. But at least having a relationship with it is a great way to then be very conscious about where you're spending that energy.
Absolutely. And, you know, even from like a money mindset perspective, a lot of the time people come to me and they say, you know, I just don't feel positively wealthy. I just don't feel like I'm good with my money. And I say to them, okay, like, what have you got? Like, what debt have you got? What savings have you got? They're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, well, how can you be grateful for what you have if you don't actually know what you have? And, you know, this happened with me with debt. When I was in debt in 2012, you know, I was kind of like just avoiding it because obviously I didn't want to look at it. You know, it's with the debt collectors. I'm just paying like whatever a month, like I'll forget about it. But I was trying to manifest the money to become debt free. And my intention was to become debt free. But I had no idea what debt free meant. I was kind of like, yeah, I think it's like 6,000-7,000. But I didn't know exactly what it meant to be debt free. So one day, 6 months later, after feeling so frustrated that it wasn't manifesting.
Just sit down and
I sat down, logged onto the debt collector's website, and there was the figure. And it was a little bit more than what I thought it was. But actually, that wasn't scary. I was like, okay, now I know the reality of my situation. I have acceptance and awareness with it. Now I know that's exactly what I need to manifest. And within 5 days, I manifested the exact amount.
Wow.
So it does pay to get clear. because, and it's even like when you're manifesting money, if you're saying, you know, I want to manifest £11,000, well, what for? Where's that going? Oh, you know, a holiday, renovations, whatever. We'll work it out. Where is that going to go? How much is that holiday exactly going to cost? How much are the renovations going to cost? Like, have it clear in your mind, because the more specific you are, the more clarity the universe can reflect to you.
Right. You almost know what the door looks like in which you need to open. It's like the way I'm kind of picturing it is manifestation previously for me was really kind of vague. Mm. But what you've done is made it very clear, because you've outlined that first you need to become aware about what it is and very clear. Because once you know what it is, then you can recognize the signs. You can recognize what doors are opening in order for you to walk through so that you can receive the energy that you need in order to deal with this. So it's made it very, very clear and less woo-woo for me. So I'm really deeply appreciative of that. When it comes to people who have manifested, how much of that then turns into, how can I say this? It's the same kind of greed mentality, but it's more a case of, how do you avoid not becoming so egotistical? Because once you know how to do something, you can easily then just start kind of lauding over and saying, I know how to manipulate this energy. But there has to be this kind of sense of humility with it as well, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. And I feel like, well, I feel like the universe can humble people quite quickly.
Right. If you don't humble yourself, the universe will humble you.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I feel like through different aspects of my journey, I wouldn't say I was necessarily like, I need more or anything like that. But I feel like when I, especially around love, I feel like that's been my biggest test in my lifetime so far, especially around relationships. When manifesting, you know, my previous relationship, I feel like the universe tested me and tested me over and over again to realize you're not the embodiment of unconditional love. Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to settle down? Why do you want this committed relationship? Because I couldn't have told you those answers 5, 6, 7 years ago, but I thought that's what I wanted.
Right.
I thought that's, you know, but then again, that's society. And that's probably the path that a lot of people find themselves going down of, well, everyone's doing this, so I must do this. So I think a lot of the time people fall into those traps, not intentionally. Sometimes, of course, it can be. But I think a lot of the time people fall into manic manifesting, which is a term coined by Gabby Bernstein, which honestly gave me so much clarity on what I was
manic
feeling
manifesting.
Yeah, so it's essentially the notion that when you manifest something, so you might set an intention and you manifest your desire, you're then like, what's next?
Right.
So instead of enjoying the view, feeling grateful and just being like, wow, my life is so incredible, you're like, there's still a hole.
Yeah,
there's still a pit. I need to fill that pit. I need to manifest more things. And this is what actually inspired my Positively Wealthy journey back in 2019, of I'd manifested every single thing off my vision board and I was so unfulfilled. And it was the moment where I sold my first business, the money business, and the money hit my account, life-changing amount of money for me to have. And I thought, wow, this is gonna set me up for life.
Yeah.
And I expected to feel different. And I sat there in my living room, transferred the money to the different accounts and different places it was going. So 10 minutes later, I had the same amount in my current account as before. And I thought, oh no, there's something wrong here. Like, I've manifested all this stuff and I still feel miserable. I still feel unfulfilled. So I felt like the biggest fraud ever. I was teaching people how to manifest their dreams. And I was like, what has gone wrong? Like, something has seriously gone wrong here. But I realized, and I realized as I wrote Positively Wealthy, that it's because I had the wrong version of wealth. I thought that money and career success was my version of wealth, and it wasn't. No matter how high I got, no matter how much I earned, I still had the trauma underneath. I still had the pain and I still had the unfulfillment. So for me, I realized that actually joy was my version of wealth and, you know, love was my version of wealth. So actually when I switched the kind of script to focusing on what I actually did want to manifest and actually what was my version of wealth, you know, everything changed. And of course,
changed the currency.
Exactly.
If you could say one thing, I mean, maybe it's not one thing, but maybe you had this observation because you're clearly manifesting things in your life. One thing that the world needed to manifest more than anything else. Is there anything that is a clear answer for that? A general thing that say, for example, you became the Prime Minister today. Could happen.
I'd worry for the UK.
I'm not worried. I feel like we're going to do all right. Everything's going to be manifested. But if there was one feeling, emotion, quality that you feel is there one quality that you feel that people in general, the mass people of the world, should manifest?
Love.
Love.
Unconditional love. Mm. Definitely. Love for self, love for others. I feel like if we could remove those limitations and blocks and obstacles that we build around our hearts, build around our love for ourselves and others, I feel like the world would be a totally different place.
Yeah.
And secondly, I feel like our purpose and reasoning for manifesting would change. And I feel like for me, as I've evolved, as I've gone along my journey, as I've healed, as I've been brought to my knees by the universe, being humbled through it all, you know, I've realized actually the answer is love. It's always love. Mm-hmm. And when you come from that heart-centered place of that love, and again, I want to say as well, love isn't just love and light and woo, you know. I always quote Karen Kay, who came on my podcast many years ago, and she said to me, Emma, people say to me all the time about how I have this, she's into fairies. Her work is all about fairies. And Ooh. She is like the most airy fairy woman you've ever met. She's lovely. And she said, Emma, people always ask me, how can I be so light? How can I be so bright? How can I be this airy fairy being? And she said, it's because I've walked through hell. I have met my shadow. I have gone through, you know, the polarity. And because I've been able to meet myself and my shadow self so deeply, that's how I can hold the light. And at the time I thought like, whoa, like that's profound.
Mm.
And then I lived that journey for myself and I thought, I get it now.
Mm. Yeah, they often say like the path to humility usually involves being humiliated in some way, shape or form.
Mm.
So there is definitely that, you know, you need to have experienced. It's almost the yin and the yang. Like once you've experienced the darkness, you can appreciate the light. You can Absolutely. Appreciate that this is what, yeah, the love. I guess that there's such a lack of love in the world that we live in that you feel the need for love.
Mm.
That's a powerful way. Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think, like, what can I do to manifest love in the world? And I know that you said start with love yourself.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm doing that all right.
I feel like your work's doing that for sure.
My work's doing it. Slowly but surely. I'm just thinking, for an average Joe, not that I'm not average Joe, but for someone that's watching this podcast, let's just talk about, you're watching this right now, you're with us right now on the other end of this screen, on the other end of the headphone. Is there an exercise perhaps or a meditation that you could share with us that could help people to manifest more love today, right now?
For me, I think the biggest part is feeling safe in my body. I feel like that was the first initiation.
Feeling safe with my body.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in my childhood, I went through a lot of trauma and I didn't know about any of that until last year. I knew bits of it, but not the full extent of
it. Like you'd chosen to forget about it or?
Yeah, my subconscious had suppressed that. So last year as I turned 30, I'd literally just moved house. We'd brought our, you know, lovely first home together.
Incredible.
Everything was great. And I got diagnosed with PTSD and I started having these traumatic memories come forward. And, you know, I thought, what the heck is this? Like, I'm just making this up. You know, how can someone go 30 years of their life thinking their life was one way and then actually know those fears, those thoughts you've had are actually something and that has happened. So that was a huge, huge wake up call for me and huge work that I've gone through. But for me, every day it was just placing a hand on my heart and saying, I feel safe in my body. It's safe for me to trust my body. It's safe for me to trust where I am right now. So I feel like even opening up that heart cave, that heart center, is just giving yourself permission to say it's safe. I've got myself. And even just talking to the inner child as well, I feel like even connecting to our inner child is such a healing process. And they're in our heart center as well. So that inner critic, that ego, that voice within ourselves that, you know, likes to stick its oar in and say negative things, that I believe is our inner child. So next time those niggling thoughts come up or doubt, talk to it. Say, okay, I hear you. I see you. How are you feeling today? What's really underneath this? So even just being able to talk to your heart, talk to your inner child, give yourself permission to feel safe in your body, I feel like is the such powerful beginning steps, because we need to be able to trust ourselves and know that we can hold that love and hold that space for ourselves to be able to go into that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think the last time I spoke to myself. Even just spoke to myself.
I think a good question as well is like, when was the last time we allowed ourselves to like just cry or be by ourselves?
Yeah, right. No, I'm a big crier and I'm open about it. I like doing that. not like a hobby or anything, but like it's natural for me to cry, you know, like, and I'm open about it. I think most of my friends have seen me drop a tear over something that I felt emotionally moved by, and I'm not shy about that. But it's just also like talking to myself. I feel like I only talk to myself when I've got a task list, a to-do list. And I think a lot of the time I feel most connected to self when I'm a to-be list. Like, okay, what am I going to do about this false ego of mine? What am I going to do about this lack of humility? What am I going to do about this lack of tolerance of others and critical nature? And, you know, it's just far, few and far between. And I feel that a step towards that has always been solitude. Mm-hmm. I think we're so big in society about loneliness and overcoming loneliness that we failed to accept the value of solitude. And a lot of the time you've dropped it in there, like, relationship with money, relationship to self. You've gone to this point of going, first go and be in solitude. First start there. And then you can start having clearer thoughts about all these different areas, you know. And it's something that I almost urge everyone to do. Like, we have holidays. And what do we do on those holidays? A lot of people, they go to the beach, they pick up a book, and they try to forget about life as they know it.
Yeah.
But rather, what would be really valuable is have a holiday wherein you're working on yourself a little bit. And it's uncomfortable. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's painful. But the pain of doing that is uncomfortable versus the pain of regret of not having even tried to, like, decipher what's going on in the heart and the brain and in your soul. The pain of regret is unbearable. Like, can you imagine, like, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, we're all going to be in that inevitable bed, or I don't know, in a situation at some point where we're going to be faced with the fact that we're going to have to die. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, will we not regret the fact that we had the opportunity, the consciousness, the brain, the intelligence, the opportunity, the facility to be able to just sit back and go, who am I? What is the relationship to self? Mm-hmm. And what is my next clear step? That we didn't even take that opportunity. So I'm inviting you to do it today. Let's manifest together today. Start with a little solitude, and let's take it from there. When you talk about all of these things in your books, is there a principle right now in your life that is ringing very true for you, like that you feel is very alive for you, so to say?
I guess, well, the next book, as it would be rightly so, because I'm writing it at the moment, I feel like alignment. I feel that, you know, Positively Wealthy was about understanding the law of attraction, what's your version of wealth. Hurt, Healing, Healed was like the inner work, clearing those blocks, and obviously the journey I've spoken about. Whereas I feel like now is this new season of my life as I step into my 30s, a whole new decade, a whole new season, and a whole new mindset, as you can imagine. So for me, alignment has been really looking at, what does it mean to be in alignment of this season of my life? Where have I been people pleasing? That's been a big thing I'm working on in my 30s, people pleasing. And now it gets to be on my terms. You know, obviously going throughout my 20s and 30s with all that suppressed trauma, it hasn't been on my terms. It's been on my trauma's terms. So even just redefining my identity has been huge. Dropping the identities, taking the capes off of identities. So there's so much, but I feel like, yeah, I feel like rediscovering that it gets to be on my terms now is a powerful one. And for everybody's terms, not just my terms, everybody's terms.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely a change because I'm now 33 and I definitely think
Jesus,
that...
this year.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a big one, 33.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. In what way?
Everybody always says it to me. They're like, oh, Jesus year 33. So what apparently happens? Because I mean, I don't know all the religious context behind it, but apparently because that's the year that Jesus died. Is it died?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Or resurrected, one or two.
Same year, I guess.
Exactly. Basically, it's a big year because it basically is like an initiation. So do you know what a Saturn return is and things like that? So between the ages of 27 to 31, we go through our Saturn return. So that's why you see a lot of people like getting married and taking those next steps in life. They come into adulthood. So for me, I could see my whole life changing in those 4 years.
Yeah.
Like massively. Identities, everything.
Yep. That happened for me.
And then Jesus year was the 33, where basically as my friend Hannah says, she hasn't seen anybody get through it very well, but it's different for everybody.
Interesting. So it could be a year of like challenge and a year of...
Yeah, shake-ups.
Shake-ups.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know whether I'm seeing it now that you've said it, but there have been some shake-ups. How interesting. Anyway.
Off topic.
Yeah, but I've definitely seen that the first 20 years of my life, I cared so much what people said about me and cared, you know, what they thought about me. And the second 20 years right now is I'm really not caring what people think and say about me. And it's said that the last 20 years of your life, if we are lucky enough to get to that stage, you realize no one was thinking about you anyway.
Mm. Oh, I got the chills on.
Yeah, me too. It's just about recognizing that, you know, we can't spend our entire life simply living to please others, people pleasing that you mentioned. And so, yeah, maybe my Jesus year is going to be powerful for that, you know, that I'll realize that more and more happiness is an inside job. Interestingly, I'm talking about that a lot more.
Mm.
Like in public events and, you know, meditation events, chanting events, I'm talking about happiness being an inside job. And it's hitting me more and more that the accomplishments, because once you've achieved a certain level of success, then you start realizing that there's something beyond this. There's that hole that's, it's almost like a divine-shaped hole that hasn't yet been filled. And it's right now just a whisper in my ear. Like I just hear it from time to time. Go in solitude, go deep. And it's just a quiet whisper right now.
Mm.
But I'm kind of just exploring it. Like, okay, maybe I need to map out time for myself just to be by myself.
Date yourself.
Date myself.
Set some dates up with yourself. I think solitude is so important because we are great at busying ourselves. Like I used to be the queen of this. Like,
is it?
Yeah, like with the to-do list, like you say, all of this. And as humans, we're fantastic at it.
Yeah.
Like conditioned, fantastic, A star for it. But how often can we spend quality time with ourselves? And I think a lot of people can say, oh, you know, I can watch a movie by myself. I can read a book. I can.
That's again, just.
You're doing stuff.
Yeah.
Just sit and stare at a wall. See what comes up when you do that. I mean, you don't have to stare at a wall. You can stare at a nice view. But, you know, do nothing.
Mm.
Be nothing.
Mm.
Just for 10 minutes. I mean, I think people think, oh, you know, I can't be bothered to sit there for 10, 20 minutes. I've got things to do. Just start off with 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Do nothing, be nothing and see what comes up. Because when we create the space, that's when the inner child can come up and talk. That's when the things that we have been suppressing or putting off can come up.
Definitely. I get this real clarity of thought. You know, just before I doze off, I actually don't go anywhere near my phone. So I tell everyone good night. I'm signing off. I'm out. Put my phone on charge away from me, way, way, way. Because I used to scroll myself to sleep. Just to kind of like keep my mind, you know, whatever, just let it tire itself out. But what I've been doing recently, even my son, because I sleep with my son. My wife sleeps with my daughter because they're both very young. We're trying to still get them trained with sleeping on their own by themselves. So I sleep with my son right now. And what we do is we just lie there and we just take deep breaths together. And And then he started doing it. Papa, Papa, let's do deep breaths now. And after that, he knocks out and I'm just lying there. I go, don't pressure yourself into thinking what tomorrow is. Don't pressure yourself into like trying to do something right now, make plans and think about how you can busy your time. Just lie here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been so magical to fall asleep that way because I wake up so much more fresh.
Yeah.
So I love this point of being as opposed to doing, being human beings instead of human doings.
I like that. Yeah. You should coin that.
Yeah. I'm sure it's someone else's. I just stolen it. I'd love to do some quick fire round with you. Can we do some
quick fire?
Let's
do it.
All right. Give me a minute to pull up me quick fire questions. All right, got it. Question number one. What's something you're curious about right now in your life?
How good it gets to be. Yeah, I'm playing with that. Joy is
You're good at quick fire. All right.
Joy is my word for 2024.
Yeah.
So I feel like the last decade was tough. Last year was equally tough for different reasons. So now I'm like, this is my season for getting to see how good it gets to be.
I'm now curious about that too. What's something you're personally working through at the moment?
Friendships. Shifting of friendships. I thought I'd say the inner work, but I feel like that was last year. I feel like that, yeah, that's kind of embodied and kind of integrated. I mean, the inner work, we're always working through that. It's like an constant onion. It never stops.
Yep.
But friendships, actually, I feel like I moved last year into our home, as I said. I moved in with my partner and I only moved half an hour down the road, which in the countryside is like ages, of course.
Oh, is it?
In the city, it's like nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
But really? In the country, it's like miles, apparently. And I feel like my relationships have really shifted. One, as I've moved in with my partner, stepped in this season of my life.
More time is spent there.
Yeah. And it's been interesting because it's been a lot to work through. And it's been very interesting to see those dynamics change and, you know, grieve that loss as well, because it is loss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's reestablishing that and saying like, okay, I didn't expect that, but how can I deepen the friendships and connections I do have and cultivate new ones as well?
Beautiful. So much confidence comes from the way that you said that, because I think a lot of people can relate.
Mm.
And I think that you've given a stepping stone for many people that are going through an evolution of friendship, an evolution of relationships. Thank you. Question number three, in short, what legacy would you like to leave behind in this world? It's a big one, isn't it?
Big one.
Can't do that in short.
Sure.
I know.
Like, can Sorry. That be done?
Yeah. Well, let's call this medium fire round then.
I would love for people to come home to themselves, learn to love themselves again, reconnect, live incredible, abundant lives that they want to, and understand the law of attraction gets to be simple. It's not some elusive law that's like, ooh, you know, it's really hard to grasp, but it's only for a select few. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I would love to help make the law of attraction more accessible for people and allow them to understand themselves better and manifest good things.
That's beautiful. Question number four, something you used to deeply value, just don't value as much anymore.
Oh. I might get judgment for this.
Let's do it.
I feel like, because when I first got into my first business,
uh-huh,
it was like the years of the influencers, like Instagram was rife. And, you know, obviously no one really teaches you what happens when you get in the spotlight, or, you know, as your business grows or as you get money. Like, you know, I was like, whoa, you know, I was really young. I was 20 when I started my first business. So a lot of massive things happened for me very young, which matured me very quickly.
Mm.
And meant that I did make sacrifices in my 20s. But for me, I was always like, you know, when I get that handbag or when I get that thing, that I'll have made it. And as I got to those stages, I was like, I don't even like that handbag anymore. It's gone out of season. So for me, I used to value wealth as like having nice handbags or being able to afford those certain luxury things. Whereas now, I literally couldn't give a crap what I drive. I love my little 2014 Mercedes car, which is my first little car. And I was so proud the day I bought that car. And people might think, Emma, why won't you buy yourself a nice car? You've worked so hard. And I'm like, but to me, that is a really nice car. And it's my first car, so I don't want to crash it, you know? So yeah, I feel like wealth is a massive thing I've reevaluated. And I've realized that, yeah, there's bigger things.
Yeah, I wish that was something that didn't have to be experienced to be realized.
Yeah.
Because so many people perceive success as material wealth, like more zeros in the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you've achieved that, I don't know if achieve is the right word, received that,
yeah,
that you realize that there's so much more to this lifetime. And I wish that that message could go out further and people could understand that it's in giving that you receive. It's in loving that you receive. It's mm-hmm. not in the... It's like that age-old thing that if you put a bag of grains in the middle of a village, the birds would come and eat their peas. The squirrels would come and take what they need to take. But the human being has this ability to just go, oh, I'll pick that up and take it for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that'll make me happy. But actually, if we just went, okay, let me take what I need and distribute the rest, like, I've been given the opportunity to distribute it, that there's so much more happiness in that giving and in that loving. And
it's trusting as well that there is more.
Right.
I think that was a big one for me of like, Because I'm
scarcity.
I'm an only child, and I only learned about only child syndrome recently.
I don't even know about it.
No, I didn't. And I had a podcast guest come on, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm an only child as well. It's an actual thing." So we were talking afterwards, and was like, "Do you have a problem with sharing?" I was like, "Yes." Like, I felt really called out. And she was like, "It's because you just never learned those like simple sharing, you know, interactions as a child."
How interesting.
So she really opened my mind up to it. So then it was really a challenge for me to be like, "Okay, how can I share more?" So there was always this joke that whenever my friends would like come over, they'd be like, "Can I have some of your Terry's chocolate orange jam?" I'm like, "No, it's my favorite chocolate." Now I'm like, take it all. There is an abundance of Terry's chocolate orange. More is going to come to me.
Right. It's interesting because it's so sacred when I've got two kids. So for me, it's sacred, this principle of sharing. Like when they don't share, I'm like, no, you need to understand. This is such a important principle of growth. And I can, now that you're speaking about it, I'm like, yeah, I can understand that if I just had one child, they'd have everything and they wouldn't feel the need to share it with anyone else until they had school friends.
Yeah.
But it's such, like, he's right now three, he's not even gone to school and he's still learning, like, okay, I have to share my Spider-Man hat with my sister, you know, and he loves it so much, but it's a principle. Yeah, I can understand. Okay, last one. If you could create one law, kind of already did it, but let's see if you come up with another one. If you could create one law that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
I think I want to say what we've said.
Go on.
Like, I think I would make a law of, like, once a year, you have to have a month off work, and, like, a week of that, you have to be in solitude.
Mm.
And the rest of it, you can just, like, do what you want, go on holiday, like, do some fun stuff, you know, reflect, take action on what you found in solitude. But I did this for the first time last year. I gave myself permission to have a whole month off work, which I've never done in the whole 10 plus years of running businesses. And I tell you, it was the most expansive time of my life. I mean, all that trauma I spoke about came up in that month. So it was like when I fully gave myself permission to slow down, not saying that that's going to happen to everyone listening, by the way, you know, it just allowed me to really go deep with that. So I think that would be my law, that everyone has to have a month off to just do what they want and go in solitude.
Like how you defined wealth, I also started defining wealth as being freedom, and seeing that the time that I can carve out for not having to be and do all the things that the world expects me to be and do, but to just be, has been very vital and very humbling, but also very educative. Like, it's something that I've kind of laid down even when I was working in the corporate world. I would, unfortunately, like, it was never very much appreciated, but I would always say that I want all my holidays in 1 month. And I've been doing it since I was like, 18 or 19, when I just started working, like even doing summer jobs, I'd say, you know, I need one of those months to be completely for myself. And people think I was off my rocker. And even now, like when I go for a month to India in November, December time, people are like, no, but that's like such an important time for strategizing and like coming up with your next year strategy and stuff. And I'm just like, I get it, but if I'm not right, I can't do any of I can't execute any of those things.
Amen.
And that month is the most uncomfortable month in the year because I have to do a lot of work internally, but I come out the other side way more, in my mind, humble, tolerant, peaceful, appreciative, grateful, all the buzzwords that you can think of. That all comes from that 1 month, and I hold it sacred. I'm like, come hell or high water, I need to have that month.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, I don't know if it's being elitist and people like, oh yeah, well and good for you, mate. But I think you can model your life in such a way if you really appreciate growth.
And I think as well it comes with time. Like, you know, if you'd asked me 3-4 years ago to take a month off, I'd have been like, oh my god, I can't. It obviously absolutely does come with a certain level in your business or your time or your career, of course. But you know, you can even create those pockets of opportunity.
Pockets, yeah.
Whether it's start take a week off work.
Beautiful.
And it's just a week. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you can build up from that. And like you say, people thought you were mad for doing that, but you honored that and you made it happen and stuck to it. So where there's a will, there's a way.
There's a will, there's a way. I mean, it's been an incredible chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's been incredible. You've come she came from, where was it? Reading?
Somerset.
She came from Somerset for the podcast. If you guys don't appreciate that she's come from Somerset, I'll be crying here. So drop it in the comments. Say thank you for coming from Somerset all this way. And you've given us so many lessons, tools. You've given us practical things that we can do right now, here and now, from the lives that we're living to manifest a better future. And if nothing else, I feel like I've come away with realizing that manifestation is not all that woo-woo. that you made it very, very practical. And I appreciate that. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for joining us on this episode of For Soul's Sake. If you enjoyed it, you know what to do. Send it to a friend, share it with your neighbor, give it a thumbs up, give it a like, drop, you know, hit that like button right now. And yeah, see you on the next episode of For Soul's Sake. We'll be having more conversations about spirituality in a candid, honest setting. And yeah, look forward to seeing you on the next one. Peace. If you love this episode, you'll love my interview with Keshavaswamy on serving others and how our life gets ironed out in the process. Go check it out.
When I have managed to find that selflessness, that sense of it's really not about me, but I'm really here as a servant to give, then I found two things happen. The first thing is that our ability to actually really serve others just expands exponentially.